We're commercial free here for this first hour, and we'll stay that way. We're going to hear from Red. Okay. He's their scouting guy now, and he talks about the four players they added in this piece. Daniel Sprong, their second-round pick, and the other three. Two guys with their first names that end in K, Dominic and Frederick, and a Nikita. So the United Nations approach.
We were delighted to get him. You know, the two famous lines from every drafters. We couldn't believe he was still there, and we had him a lot higher on our list. And both were true today for Sprong. You know, he's a tremendous goal scorer. He's got an NHL release, a heavy shot. He needs to work on his defensive side of his game, like Zach Number, but he was certainly a first-round player for us.
You got European kids with every pick today. Was that a particular area of focus, or did it just work out that way?
Not at all. It's just the way the draft tumbled. A little bit of the United Nations approach today, I guess, but I think it's good to have that mix. So Daniel Sprong is a right shot winger, capable of playing both wings, has an NHL release, very heavy shot, 39 goals this year as a 17-year-old in the Quebec League. So he certainly is a young man that can score goals. Needs to work on the defensive side of his game, like most young players. But
and then the other three kids that were
okay. The other sure. So Frederick Tiffels is a left winger. He played both wings at the World Juniors for Germany, but he's a left winger. He's got good skills. He's a thickly built young man. He's got good size. His speed is slightly a bit of a sleeper there. We're pretty excited about him.
Dominic Simon
is a late bloomer, really. He was a guy that played at the World Championships this year, so our pro guys and our amateur guys got a chance to see him. He played a couple of games with Jager and played well, but what we've seen lately we're pretty happy about. And then Nikita Pavlichev is a longer-term prospect. He plays in Des Moines in USHL for Dave Allison, who former colleague of ours here, who raves about the quality of person. He's big. You know, he's got good skill. He's got a wonderful program. He'll be right in our backyard to keep an eye on him. So a longer-term prospect, but somebody that we have high hopes for.
Simon can play in the American League next year?
He can, yes.
Would that be the plan for him?
It depends. I mean, we just drafted him, so we'll have to have a talk with his agent and see what the longer-range plan is. Well, we certainly got speed with Sprong and Tiffels. You know, I think Simon has decent speed, and Pavlichev needs to work on his speed. But, you know, when you pick a little later in each round, and you're picking in the later rounds, unfortunately, not everyone. In the case of Pavlichev, he needs to work on his skating. The other guys were pretty happy with him.
Simon and Tiffels are 20. Is that something that happened on purpose? Are you trying to get guys who are a little further along in the development process?
Not at all. It really is. It's just the way the draft unfolded. You know, Jim said, hey, four forwards. I said, yeah, I mean, that's unfolded when it came time for us to pick. Most of them were gone, and the ones that were remaining, we felt the organization was better suited to take the player we took.
You took two kids who played juniors in Wilkes-Barre. Was there any familiarity there with some of your guys who have been down there?
Well, it certainly helped with our due diligence, you know, on the background check and the character check.
Introduction.
Who is this guy?
The most knowledgeable columnist in the city of Pittsburgh.
Some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
He goes by only one name.
Hotter than Bond, cooler than Bullet. Shaft.
No, it's not Shaft. It's Rossi. And he's here right now on Trip Live Radio.
I can't believe you sing the West Virginia Fight Song guy. Those Penn State roots you got.
Yeah.
New Penguins.
I root for West Virginia.
Look, you do? Okay. Mm-hmm. Sprong. We got a Dominic. We got a Frederick. We got a Pavlichev. We got a Plotnikov. We got a Tikhonov. And now we got a Rossi. But
Rossi,
no.
Here's I'm writing about the Penguins. That might not actually be inaccurate. For me. I certainly felt like I've taken on some poisonous rays.
You didn't survive that. The Chernobyl explosion, but the Rutherford explosion, you did survive.
Yeah. Back yesterday, and, you know, he didn't stand up and, you know, yell at me or anything, so we're good. Well, I think we are. I wrote a nice piece about Jim the other day. I actually thought he did a good job this weekend. Jeez.
You should afford that to his daughter.
Well, I don't think we're that close yet.
It's a signature move.
Look, that's a great question. It's tough. You know, you hear a lot of stuff. Certainly, I was down there with Jason Mackey and Jonathan Bomboli, our Penguins beat reporters, and you know, they were hearing a lot of stuff too. I heard, and I want to make clear, I'm not report moving Rob Scuderi and Chris Kunitz plus Derek Pouliot for Kessel, but here's something to keep in mind. Chris Kunitz has a list of teams to which he can kill a trade, and Toronto is on it. And I don't believe the Penguins took anything to Chris. So I don't, and what I also don't know is who felt that was close on Toronto's side. But I believe the Penguins, from what I'm told, felt like they were close to something on Friday morning, maybe early afternoon. And then it kind of died down quickly. And tell me on Friday evening that they were hearing Toronto looked at what Boston had happen and went, no, we got to get more than this. And now I know they, I don't know, I believe based again off what I heard that they, Penguins and Toronto touched Russell. It's my opinion that the best thing Jim Rutherford did over the weekend was get involved in a lot of talks for a lot of potential upgrades to the Penguins top six. And he has a firm understanding now of how TJ Oshie, you know, Cole, you know, any of these guys. So now I think we will see how Rutherford plays this. I think he's going to play this slow. I think he's going to be patient. And by the way, I think he's playing it right because there might not be a huge marketing. You don't want that type of guy with that type of ticket on your roster.
Well, I said to Ken earlier that I would rather, well, as has been documented, we haven't judged a lot of the deals from last year to be that good. Rather than be patient and deal's sake, I mean, I think it seems to me that a lot of the results of trades last year were just putting different guys in uniforms and that didn't really have a big effect on the way they played.
Yeah, I think there's a perception of that. It's fair. Whether that's the case or not, I don't know. Things to do things. And you did get the sense going into the last draft. And I think there's a big difference this year. And look, let's be fair to Jim Rutherford. A year ago, he went into the draft and he was on the job for about 3 weeks. Okay. This year he went into the draft and he was, you know, on the year, which is one of the reasons I think it was a mistake to move James Neal when they did, because I just don't think they were positioned, the Penguins, to make the best move at the time. But I think for the most part they were on the same page this weekend. I think they had a plan. I think you saw a little bit more of the true scoring wingers at his speed. Yes, he likes all of those things. But he's also a guy that has made a lot of trades, and he's a guy that he'll be patient. And he's a guy that this is the one thing I think we have seen clearly from Jim Rutherford. Dating was told he really likes Phil Kessel. And everything I've seen from Jim Rutherford makes me believe he's going to try to stay in this until he thinks it's not possible. And let's not forget, there's not really a GM up there in Toronto. They got a bunch of guys doing a bunch of different jobs.
From Mackey that Rutherford and Tom Fitzgerald had a wild gesturing session on the floor. What was it like to watch him move around from entity to entity?
Yeah, it was a weird scene at the end of the draft. I'm not going to lie. It was something I've never seen. I've been to 10 of these with the coach and the general manager, and the assistants, Jason Bottrell, Bill Guerin, and Tom Fitzgerald, they were all talking. And they had a long meeting. I would say everything was off of the draft floor. They were packing up everything like Jason wrote about, and they were still talking to Tom Fitzgerald, and I have in close quarters. That's how he talks. I mean, he's a guy that uses a lot of hand languages and that, or hand gestures. I don't know what he was saying. I followed him and I said, "Fitzy, what can I glean from that?" And he goes, "Nothing. You need. When do we have the format to do it, right, guys? You guys end up talking a lot about sort of what happens on the field and what's happening behind. I write a lot about that stuff, but one thing I think we don't do a great job in our business of reminding the people of is that Tom Fitzgerald might have an opinion that differs from somebody on that staff, and Tom Fitzgerald might want to make sure that that opinion is heard. So I don't read too much negative into what happened on the floor because we just saw something that probably happens a lot. We just saw it in public.
What do you know about Daniel Sprong? Do you believe that's true? North American scouting had him ranked much higher than he was selected.
Yeah.
And a lot of people said the Penguins did nothing. Their grade for activity over the weekend was nil. But, for a draft that was pretty deep, Rob, did they get a player?
A couple of guys I know. So that's a good pick. In fact, I know a guy who's an agent who just doesn't represent Sprung, who's a CAA guy. He's part of that Papasan, J.P. Barry sort of conglomerate over at CAA. But an agent from he's just one of these guys that's a little bit more developed in his game. I don't want to put that pressure on the kid. I think they got a good pick. And here's why I think the Penguins had a good weekend. They need players, man. They need people in that system. They need to start replenishing that. And, you know, you can get good players in the second round. And if you can get a first up front, then, you know, I like the fact Jonathan Bumboli wrote about this, that they, I know it was coincidence, I like the fact that they went very European. I think they need skill in this organization. To me, the Penguins as a brand are a skilled hockey franchise, and that's what you need to do. And I think they went after guys that have skill. Sprung is a guy that could do it. I mean, what he did, his journey, going to the academy in Wilkes-Barre and playing up against people older than him and all that, that's usually the sign of a guy that can make it to the league. You know, and if you get a guy in the second round
that they traded their first, third, and fourth for the Perron, Gotch, and Winnick trades.
Yeah, I mean, look, and now let's be fair the other way. They would have been better served having more picks. I think they would tell you that privately. Not having the first round pick, maybe Oshie, maybe Sharp. I think if they had that pick to dangle, that was a valued pick where they ended up picking. David Perron trade may be the one we look back retroactively and go, that was the one that did them the most damage. I'm glad they didn't move any picks from next year, too. I mean, they need to start drafting again. You look at these franchises and you see they're not moving a lot of draft picks. You look at what the Buffalo Sabres did this weekend. Now, granted, it's a different situation, but that's what you do.
Cole, $2.1 mil. What do you make of the money?
Well, look, I think if Ian Cole, who I project, I mean, look, let me say this. I think Ian Cole is a fine bottom pairing defenseman in this league. On a good team, that's what he is. A guy that can maybe give you 20, 25 games a year where he plays in your top four because of injuries, but that might be pushing it. So $2.1 million for 3 years for a guy like that, I'm fine with. If you don't have another $3.4 million invested in another bottom-pairing defenseman, which is what they do with Rob Scuderic. Assume Ryan Dumoulin can play. We assume Derek Pouliot can play. Quite frankly, we assume Olli Maa is going to be able to come in and be Olli Maa again. What we know is Ian Cole knows how to play hockey in this league. So I don't think it's a bad number. I don't think it's a bad term. In fact, I think it could become a favorable number and a favorable term for the Penguins. Cole to be your bottom-pairing defenseman. So I think if you're going to do this, you have to be sure you can do something with Rob Scuderi, whether it be moving him as part of a deal or buying him out. But I just think for a cap team like the Penguins going forward, and let's not forget, if Olli Maa comes back and has a good expire, if he does come back and becomes Olli Maa, you just can't have $5.5 million tied into a bottom-pairing defenseman. So they got to do something with the Scuderi thing.
And do you know the timing on that, Rob? We were asking him, when does the buyout period end? Is it by Wednesday?
I don't, guys. I'm sorry.
Next shoe to drop will be signing one of these Russians Wednesday? Or?
Yeah, I think they'll, it sounds like they're going to sign these Russians on Wednesday, and that'll inject some skill. Look, I don't think there's any rush. If Frontpole still was Carolina, all these guys, Yakupov still with Edmonton. That was the name I heard a couple of times Saturday, by the way, that it was Edmonton. Here's what I heard. Edmonton was looking at Pittsburgh as maybe a guy where they could move Yakupov. Guys are with their current teams. I don't think you need to do anything because you don't need to have this winger to me until you go into training camp. If Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin arrive at training camp and they're like, okay, this is what we got, right? So, if that's the case. But if Evgeny Malkin comes back to training camp and goes, I know you guys think I like Russians, but seriously, these are my guys? I think that's going to be a problem. So you have to get him somebody by training camp, I think, but I don't think you need to rush it. So I'm not sure it's going to be something in the next. Conceivably, and make a deal for Phil Kessel where they have Rob Scuderi and Chris Kunitz on their team and they're $7 million over the salary cap. They have to hit that date before they start the season, so they would have time to make moves then, too. So there's no rush. There's no rush.
Wouldn't it be tough, though?
That's the other part, right? So there's no rush to get the winger because the winger's probably going to be there to be gotten, but it does hinder what you can do with your other options. Joel Ward, Michael Frolik, to me, and if you're talking about a Phil Kessel, to me, a Phil Kessel is a guy that has the ability to do something very few guys in this league can do, score. He can score goals. And the Penguins haven't been able to score goals in the playoffs. Sidney Crosby had that sort of second period of old. If you remember against Columbus 2 years ago, what happened late in that series? They put Crosby and Malkin together, and Malkin went off.
Hat trick, yeah.
You know, that's the formula. You have Fleury. The formula is you need to score goals. It did on those teams of the late 90s with Jágr, fill a role that Hossa did in 10 and 08, where he doesn't have the pressure of having to be the guy, and maybe not having that pressure allows him to play like the guy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought it was a good Eastern Conference before, but it's better. There are a lot of teams. Boston didn't. Boston is bad. But, you know, there's a lot. You could make an argument right now, just off the top of your head, teams that you like better than the Penguins on paper and with the eye test, and because they have the best player at the most important position. The Tampa Bay Lightning, because they might have the deepest team. The Ottawa Senators are probably right there with the Penguins. So are probably the Columbus Blue Jackets. I might even put them a little bit ahead of the Penguins in terms of depth. The Buffalo Sabres they're suddenly a pretty interesting hockey team. So it's going to be hard to make the playoffs. So you got to make sure you do that before anything. And I don't think that's a given. I don't think anybody should think that's a given.
Real quick, Rob, like a lot of the, you think the Rangers are getting worse slightly or?
Well, look, this is what happens, right? You start paying the piper against the salary cap. And those were salary cap moves. You know, they weren't going to keep Talbot. You're not going to pay a goalie what somebody's going to pay Talbot when you have all that money invested in Henrik Lundqvist up until, 2 years ago, where they had their core locked up, so they were going to absorb some losses and maybe get a little marginally, take a step back, but they're still, their high end is so high because of that core. So I think the New York Rangers remain a team.
Go for another year, and they still have a great defense.
They have Henrik Lundqvist, right? So
right.
That makes up a lot. Like you can absorb some losses.
Exactly. All right, good stuff, Rossi. I hope it was a good trip down there, and glad you and Rutherford have started to mend a fence.
Who said
he's not reporting it, but he heard Scuderi, Kunitz, and Pouliot for Kessel was on the board for a little bit, which would seem like a pretty good deal to me. I mean,
yeah, as we talked the other day, Ken, I think it fits. I mean, that's kind of one of the deals that we had folded, right? A young defenseman with tons of potential and a forward that, yeah. I mean, I don't think that would have been a bad deal. If you stick to my theory that the team that gets the best player gets the best of the deal, they would get that.
Yeah, really. Toronto would be, like, why would they want Kunitz and Scuderi? Almost NHL proven ready yet. You know, he's probably a year or two away. So maybe they balked at it. Also interesting that, if that's true, that Kunitz has Toronto on his "I'm not going there" list. You know, he's a Canadian dude. That's not going to go over well with Don Cherry on the next coach's corner. You know, to get to a lot of good emails coming in. We'll rip through them here in just a second. But did want to play the audio from Daniel Sprong, the Penguins' second round pick, their first pick at number 46 overall, first pick in the draft. that they had the rights to. And you said got in the Quebec League last year, 39 goals.
39 goals, yeah.
That's pretty impressive. No matter what league
40
you're in.
Some assists, too, right?
Yeah, 88 points.
Yeah.
68 games. And according to Randy Sexton, you heard there, he has an NHL release. And if he fell in the draft, maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder, too.
Six.
Moved to Montreal at age 7 from Holland. And here's Daniel Sprong, a little bit of chat here on Ken and Guy.
I think a lot of relief. I think seeing my name drop, but I think a sign of relief came out. I was starting to get nervous, saying, oh, Mom, this interview went well. No, that one didn't go well, but...
Better, you kind of not know?
I spoke to them twice, one time during the season and one time at the combine, and I felt really good at both times. What they said was 100% right, what I have to work on my game, and I totally agreed. But I'm very honored to be drafted by Pittsburgh. I knew they liked me, but I'm very happy they selected me.
You have a Pittsburgh kind of connection. You're playing for Wilkes-Barre.
I've been watching a game. I said, I wouldn't mind getting drafted by that team when I was still little, but now knowing that one day I could play in that rink is unbelievable.
Why did you think you dropped
That's not in my control. I can only control what I control. I've played my season.
Look at the offense the past couple of seasons for your team. Is that something you're comfortable doing, or do you want to be an offensive focal point on a team?
I think I just want to be part of a team that sees a role in me, and I can play any role up front. If they want me to be more of a passer or a scorer, I can do anything. I'm really excited just to be part of the Pittsburgh Penguins and their vision. I think I can score and pass. I like to make a double threat when I get the puck. I can either shoot or pass, so I'm very excited with that, and Pittsburgh has a lot of great players, so I'm looking forward to maybe play with them one day.
And what do you need to work on, you feel, to get to the next level?
My defensive game, my game without the puck, that was something that Pittsburgh told me I had to work on, and something that I know. I was a big fan of Ilya Kovalchuk when he played for New Jersey and Atlanta. I try to model my game a bit like he does, and a bit of Patrick Kane, the way they skate, the skill they have, and the way they shoot, but I want to work on the defensive side too, and I think that's the most important part right now for me.
Yeah, when did you come to North America?
I moved to Canada at the age of 7. The Pittsburgh Penguins.
How did you get involved with hockey in Amsterdam? That's not a particularly big sport there, is it?
No, soccer is the biggest sport, but my dad played, and I wanted to follow my dad's footsteps. I was a big fan of hockey, just watching when I was little, and when I started playing, I fell in love with the game, and I wanted to continue it. Unbelievable part, and becoming the first Dutch player to be drafted is something special.
Are they with you today?
Yes, my parents are here as well, and grandparents and a couple friends, so just an unbelievable time right now, and I'm really enjoying it.
How much does it mean to you? I mean, especially considering everything they went through to kind of get you to this point. I mean, how special is it to kind of share this?
They're proud of me, but I can't thank them enough for making sacrifices for me, and now it's step one, like I said, but I have to continue working hard to see if I can make the Pittsburgh lineup.
What's your father's name?
Hanny Sprong.
Could you spell that?
H-A-N-N-I-E.
And where did you play in Amsterdam?
I played for the Dutch League in the Heist League.
Being brought to the rink at a young age, was that like the same for you, but you know, with your dad, did he bring you to practices?
Yeah, my dad was, when I was little, around 3 years old, my dad was a coach with his cousin for a little U team, and he brought me to the rink, and he said, you want to do this? I'm like, yeah, I want to do this. So I'm really happy I did it, and I love the game.
Do you consider yourself Dutch-Canadian, both?
I consider myself both, but I'm proud from where I was born and where I'm from. I'll always be Dutch, but hopefully when I get my Canadian passport, I can play for Canada one day.
Do you think about how you might be inspired?
Anything's possible. You can make your dream come true. You just have to set your mind to it. But I remember when I was little and watching NHL players, how they inspired me. So hopefully in Holland or even in Montreal where I played, hopefully I inspire some kids as well.
Daniel, this time yesterday, did you have any sense of where you might go in the draft?
No, I thought to me a lot and was interested in me. And it looks like Pittsburgh really liked me and interested me. And I'm great, fortunate to be part of this organization. I think so. I think you're, of course, very disappointed in something you set your mind to, and I thought it was going to happen, maybe not, but I'm very happy that it didn't happen out.
About your attitude, do you think that's something you can explain, the fact that you were drafted in the first round?
I don't think I have a bad attitude. I think if you ask all my teammates, my coaches, former players, I think I don't have a bad attitude at all. I think that was just something that got misled or misstoried. I think maybe in a game you saw me maybe talk to my team.
Your highlight reel is very impressive. When did you start to think that skill was going to be your ticket to success in hockey?
I never knew really it was going to be my ticket. I just knew that I wanted to keep working on it. I knew I wanted to be a skilled player with the puck and be a scorer and playmaker, but I always knew people always told me you're a skilled player.
You're a kid playing in Montreal. How'd you end up in Wilkes-Barre?
I got a chance to play for Wilkes-Barre. It was a friend of mine back then who said you should come play for our team. We have Bruce Shum team, we have Ivan, and a couple other guys, and I said, why not play there for 1 year, play against very good, strong players. Jeremy Brocco, I played against Hannah.
Wait, Pat, it was during that time where you came to Pittsburgh for a game. Was it like a tournament or something, and you guys were in town?
No, it's only a four-hour drive from Wilkes-Barre to Pittsburgh, and that's where I met CEA. They brought me for a game just to see and what it looked like, how to be part of it, and that's where I met Sidney Crosby and Malkin. I just thought to myself, it would be pretty cool to play here. I wouldn't mind putting on a Penguins jersey, and now I am here putting on a Penguins jersey, so it's pretty cool.
Do you have, like, pictures or, you know, autographs from that time you met Crosby and Malkin?
Not at that time, but when I was little, when I trained with Bez, power skating coach, who was with the Pittsburgh Penguins, I have a stick of Malkin in my house signed. And
Penguins fan.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was a Habs fan, a bit of a Penguins fan, but I like following players that I try to model my game after. But right now I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan.